Bibles, please turn to the book of Psalms, Psalm 51. We'll read verses 10 through 17 together, and we'll read this passage responsively. Psalm 51, verses 10 through 17. Psalm 51, verses 10 through 17. Again, we'll read this passage responsively. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, and a broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for what you've done for us. Thank you for our church. Most of all, thank you for the presence of the Holy Spirit here in this place. Now, Lord, we're sinners. Because we're sinners, we sometimes make life hard on ourselves. We make it difficult. I pray that you'd use the man of God today to teach us, to clean us, to help us, so we could find the joy that you have for us, and so that we could share that joy with others, please. Give us a great service in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
In some study that I had read some years ago, they took all the different church denominations. They looked at the pastors and the men that led their churches, and they came up with a number that the average pastor lasts about 5 years. I thank God for his grace and mercy in my life. I've been preaching for 34 years. But I'm going to tell you something today that you, if you listen to it, it'll make a difference in your life. There's something that I work very hard at. I guard my spirit. I guard my spirit. When I was a young man, my father taught me the importance of making sure that I would have the oil changed in my car on a regular basis. And so, if they recommend that the oil be changed every 3,000 miles, I'm watching for that odometer to hit 3,000, and I'm there within just a few days of it going to 3,000 miles. If they're recommending that I change my oil at 5,000 miles, I'm watching. And when it's there, I get the oil changed. I used to do it myself. Now I'll take it up to Peterson's or to Goodyear, and I'll let them change my oil. I do it religiously. I have to keep the oil clean. You see, if I protect that oil's purity, I protect the entire engine. My oil's condition has a lot to do with my whole engine, whether it's going to run smoothly or its longevity. Now, I know that about my engine for my car. God compares his Holy Spirit to oil. But then, you know, you and I have a spirit. And if God would compare his Holy Spirit to oil, and since you and I have a spirit or an attitude, I guess in some way, then our spirit could be compared to oil. You know what I want to do? I want to protect my spirit. I want to keep my spirit clean. I want to keep my spirit, and you know what you'll learn about people, you can tell if their spirit's clean because of the smoothness of their life. And I'll tell you something else. You want to be around in the New Testament church for very long. If you want longevity, you're going to have to keep that smoothness there. You have to work on your spirit and keep your spirit healthy. I think there are people that come to our church, and as you know, of course, we're working on our Bible college, and there are a lot of different things. You know, people could come to the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church for a lot of different reasons, but I'm going to make you one promise. One thing that people like about our church is its spirit. There's a unique spirit here. We're not just talking about the Holy Spirit now. We're talking about that spirit that you and I, we all have attitudes. We all are contributors to that spirit. Now, please stay with me. Psalm 51, verse 10 through 12, it says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore me, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit." Let me tell you about this story. Now, if you were here last Sunday morning, I used this story last Sunday morning. I'm going to use it again, but teaching a totally different part of it. This story here is the story of David. David had, and this Psalm 51 is written after David had fallen into sin with Bathsheba. He goes into sin with Bathsheba. He commits adultery with her. He then, Bathsheba's husband's name was Uriah. David ends up having Uriah killed. So David comes along. He steals a wife named Bathsheba. He's trying to cover up his sin and get himself out of a jam, and he goes after Uriah, the husband, and he plots a scheme, and it doesn't work out, and so he decides that he's going to have Uriah killed, and he actually has Uriah killed. David and Bathsheba, their relationship, she ends up finding herself pregnant. Now she's going to have a baby, and it's illegitimate. It belongs to a man other than her husband, and her husband has now been put to death by David, the one with which she had committed adultery. Wasn't long, though, that that baby did not live, and that baby dies. The preacher of that day, and look right this way, young people in the front row, you look this way and you pay attention. The preacher of the day, he is a prophet by the name of Nathan. Nathan is talking to David one day about this whole mess that David has gotten himself into. And Nathan, the way he describes it to David to get the point across to David, Nathan says, "David, let me tell you a story. There was a poor man and he had a lamb. There was a rich man that needed a lamb, but the rich man had plenty. He had everything that he needed, but this poor man only had one lamb. The rich man goes to the poor man and says, 'I would like to have your lamb. I need it for a little feast. I'm going to entertain some guests, and I'd like to have your lamb.' And the poor man said, 'I've only got this one lamb. You want my one lamb?' And the rich man said, 'I want it.' And he takes it. He slaughters the lamb and eats that one lamb of that poor man." Well, by the time the preacher's telling this story to David, David is getting out of sorts and he's upset about it. He says, "What right did that man have to do that? That wasn't right. It was not right for that rich man to take that poor man's one lamb and eat it. He ought to have to restore to that man fourfold. Not only that, he probably should be put to death." Now here's the thing. The preacher Nathan was describing to David David's sin. Because David had come along and taken the lamb named Bathsheba from Uriah, the poor man. Uriah just had his wife and his family. That's all he had. And David comes by and insists and takes that away from him. It was the preacher's way of getting the attention of David about David's misbehavior. Well, I wonder where all this started. How in the world did David find himself in this jam? I believe this. I believe that David went from that fair-haired boy who was the slayer of Goliath and who was the favorite of everybody at the beginning of his ministry, and he gets into this jam. I think I've traced what the problem was. I believe this. I believe the beginning of David's downfall was the corruption of his own spirit. His downfall did not start with adultery. It started with the downfall of his spirit. His downfall did not start with his betrayals. It started with his own spirit. David's downfall did not start with the murder of Uriah. It started with the downfall of his own spirit. David's corruption did not start this whole thing. It was that David's spirit was tampered with. You see, David developed a bad attitude. And somehow then, that attitude launches David into a mess of sin. Psalm 51:12, remembering that this psalm is written after David has messed up his life, committed adultery, killed Uriah. He's trying to come back to God now to rebuild his life. And he says this, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Uphold me with thy free spirit." And just so you understand, and I always clarify this, David, when he got into a mess, he did not lose his salvation, but he lost his joy. He lost some blessing. But listen to this verse. Psalm 51:10 says, David said this, "Renew a right spirit within me." Renew my spirit. David knew that if David's spirit was not right, then David would not be right. Folks, I'll tell you something I'm just sure of. Long before you do wrong on the outside, something was brewing on the inside. The root of your big mistake is going to be found on the inside, a bunch of little things having to do with your attitude and having to do with your spirit. Get this. David wouldn't ask God to renew a right spirit unless David had developed a wrong spirit. I have a question for you. How's your spirit? I'm not asking you what we see on the outside of you. I'm asking what God sees on the inside of you. I'm not asking if you're at church today, because obviously you are. And you probably sang. And you probably have your Bible there with you. And you're probably paying attention right now to the preaching. But those are not the things that I'm wondering about. I'm wondering about what's brewing on the inside of you. I wonder what's going on the inside of you where nobody can see it except God. And I will promise you that long before David lusted Bathsheba, something was happening on the inside. And long before David took Bathsheba and committed adultery, something was going on in his spirit on the inside. And long before David killed Uriah, and long before David lied to his own men, and long before David watched his life spin out of control, something had tampered with his attitude. Something had tampered with his spirit. And that's why David said in Psalm 51:10, he said, "Renew a right spirit within me." It's not referring to the Holy Spirit. It's talking about David's spirit. See, man's made up of a body, a soul, and a spirit. And I have a spirit, or I have an attitude, and I believe this. I believe David's terrible sins that you and I are familiar with, they were all launched as a result of the bad spirit that he had developed on the inside. Hey, how's your spirit? That's the name of the sermon today. How's your spirit? Let me say, first of all, a good spirit will help keep you from sin. I believe that David's bad spirit led him into the sin. Somewhere along the way, David let someone or something tamper with his spirit. I'm very careful who I get around. I don't let people tamper with my spirit. I don't want people to soil my spirit. You say, well, are you just worried about attitude? No, I happen to know something. You tamper with the spirit, and if the inside begins to corrupt, the outside eventually will end up committing gross, immoral, filthy, rotten, nasty sins. They start on the inside, and they work themselves out. Long before David took Bathsheba for himself, his spirit had been changed for the worse. His right spirit had become a wrong spirit. Long before David had Uriah murdered, his spirit had changed for the worse. His right spirit had become a wrong spirit. Long before David developed an evil plot, his spirit had been changed for the worse. His right spirit had become a wrong spirit. Listen, folks, as a spiritual leader, I see people's spirits change, and I realize without some type of a revival, self-destruction is on its way. You can see it. You can see the change of that spirit. My antennas go up. My antennas, they go up, and I'm watching the spirit of people constantly. I watch the spirit of my church constantly. It's what I do. And it doesn't take much to know that somebody's spirit changed. There are some people, you were here when I got here. You had a wonderful spirit, but you can just tell something's tampered with your spirit. There are people, you have a great spirit. What's happened to your spirit? What happened to you? Hey, let me warn you about something. A good spirit will keep you from sin. Long before David had developed this evil plot that came out on the outside, something started working on him on the inside. Hey, do we all not remember David's wonderful spirit when King Saul was out to destroy him? David came home from battle, and on his way home from battle, the women in town, they sang a song and said, Saul has killed his thousands, but David has killed his tens of thousands. And that day, King Saul became very jealous of David. And Saul said, I'm going to get him. But it's a wonderful thing, because David back then, he had a right spirit. He had a good spirit. There were people that were out to hurt him, but he had a good spirit about it. David's spirit was loving and respectful and kind. There's even the story of how one day David was out in the wilderness. He had climbed into a cave because he seen Saul coming. Remember, Saul's the one that said, I'll get him. I'll kill him. I'll throw a javelin. I'll pierce him through. David noticed that Saul was approaching a cave. David ran to the back of the cave and hid behind a rock. Saul came in. Saul was hunting David. He wanted to kill David. And Saul came into that cave, and he was tired, and he said, I think I'll take a nap here. Saul laid down and took a nap. David was just a few yards away with his sword in his sheath. David could have killed Saul. He had him right there. And by the way, a bunch of people would have killed Saul because Saul was hunting David. But you see, David had a right spirit. David had his spirit under control. And David said, right there he is. I can whack his head off right this second. I can take him out. I can kill him. But I will not touch God's anointed. What was that? That was David's spirit under control. So you see, David had his spirit under control at one point. Hey, some of you, I hope you'll remember David's wonderful spirit when his son Absalom had rebelled against him. David became the king, and he had a son named Absalom. Absalom began to win the hearts of the people in the city and in his kingdom. But David, you see, at that time when his own son is betraying him, his own son is undermining him, his own son is trying to steal the kingdom away from him, but David at that time in his life had an excellent spirit. David at that time in his life had a strong spirit. David at that time of his life had a healthy spirit. Nothing had tampered with him on the inside, you see. And rather than fight his own son, David said, I'm just going to get out of the city because I am not going to do this. I am not going to war with my own flesh and blood. I'm not going to have words with somebody I love. I'll not pull my sword out and try to kill somebody that I love. I'll not do it. See, David's spirit provided patience and kindness and love for his enemy. Well, why? Because David's spirit was healthy at that point. But somewhere along the way, David's spirit changed. Hey, how's your spirit? Dave, we know that David could have a great spirit. I mean, if David can have that kind of an attitude toward Absalom, Absalom, who was disloyal, stealing the hearts of the people from right out from underneath David's nose, but David can still have a good attitude or a good spirit. We see he's capable of it. We see that he can do it. We see that when Saul was trying to kill David and David could have had revenge, but David said, I'm not going to touch the anointed. We see the spirit that David was capable of, but somewhere along the way, something tampered with David's spirit. Something began to eat at him on the inside, which eventually came to the outside, and that which started on the inside came out far more gross in its attack and in the sin, because he ends up killing Uriah. He ends up sleeping with Bathsheba. You better watch what you let simmer on the inside of you. Hey, how's your spirit toward the preaching? Man. Not are you here. It's what's your attitude while you're here. What's your attitude toward the preaching? How's your spirit? How's your spirit towards your Christian school? How's your spirit towards your Christian brothers and sisters here in this church? How's your spirit toward God's leaders in your life? And not because I am the pastor, but I'm going to tell you something. How's your spirit towards your pastor? How's your spirit toward your pastor? You know, there's a lot of teaching in the Bible about one's attitude toward their pastor. How's your spirit toward your pastor? Say, I just tolerate you. Looking forward to maybe you moving on. I'm not going anywhere. You say, why? To spite you, baby. If you get right with God, I might move on. How's your spirit? How's your spirit? What's going on down inside you? You know, I look around and I can see smiling faces and people sitting. But you know, what you put on the outside and what's really going on the inside of you can be two totally different things. And I don't think anybody knew that David had it within him to do what David did in taking another man's wife, setting up this whole plot and killing her husband. But something had been going on down inside David that nobody else knew about. And when David finally gets through the whole mess, he's getting right with God in Psalm 51. David said, God, I know one thing. I know what caused this whole mess. My spirit got bad. I wouldn't be where I'm at right now in Psalm 51, repenting of murder and adultery and filthy, filthy plotting against other people had I just kept my heart right. How's your spirit? How's your spirit toward your church? How's your spirit toward the ministry in which you work? Better watch your spirit. See, a good spirit will keep you away from sin. Stay with me now. Not only will a good spirit keep you from sin, but a good spirit will lead you to success. Daniel chapter 5, verse number 12, the Bible says this, for as much as an excellent spirit in knowledge and understanding, interpreting of dreams, and showing of hard sentences were found in the same Daniel who the king Belshazzar, now let Daniel be called, and he will show the interpretation. Listen to this. This is a verse about a man named Daniel in the Old Testament. In this verse, it lists Daniel's superior attributes. Daniel's one that's known for knowledge. He's known for understanding. He's known for the ability to have a certain wisdom and certain insight. He's known here about being able to dissolve doubts. He's known here as a leader. But let me explain. All the way at the top of the list that God wrote in the Bible, it says, for as much as an excellent spirit. That's where God started the entire list about Daniel. See, Daniel had a lot of wonderful things about him, but did you know something? There were other people that were in captivity that had those same qualities. Let me tell you something. I don't care what your attributes are. Somebody else has those same attributes. The thing that will help you to be a cut above is your attitude. There's somebody that's got just as good an education as you. Somebody's got just as much money as you. There's somebody that can hammer a nail. There's somebody that can fix a computer. There's somebody that can do what you can do. The only thing that will separate you from everybody else is your spirit, your attitude. In Daniel chapter 6, verse number 3, it says, then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and the princes because of an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Daniel was in captivity, and Daniel had all these qualities, but they said there's something unique. All the way at the top of the list of all of his qualities is his attitude. Yes, sir. His attitude. Because of an excellent spirit, they set him over the whole realm. This is a guy that is a slave in captivity, and the boss man says, I'm going to put you over my people that are free leaders. The slave leads the captors. Right. He must have had a pretty good attitude, huh? He must have had a pretty good spirit. Two of the Bible's most outstanding men are David and Daniel. Both are known for having had excellent spirits. Daniel started at the bottom of the rung of success in captivity, but he worked his way to the top, and his excellent spirit led the way. See, many of you have some wonderful abilities, but you have a less than wonderful spirit. Wonderful ability, weak spirit, you get used very little that way. Good training, but terrible temperament. See, when Daniel was a slave in a foreign country, he still had a great attitude. You say, you don't know what I'm going through. Have you ever been a slave in a foreign country?
Come on.
You can have a good attitude and go through tough times. You say, well, Brother Owens, I'm a lady, and I'm at a stage in life where it's hard to have a bad attitude. I'm being affected by that stage in life. You can still have a good attitude. Somebody told you it's okay to have a bad attitude because you're in your mid-40s. That's not true. Some have great aptitudes but terrible attitudes. You know, a man said to me, he said, my wife, she's got it all. She can cook. She can sew. She can keep house. She's pretty. But she's got such a negative, critical spirit, you don't recognize all the rest of that stuff. Wasted ability because of corrupt attitude. Isn't that sad? If you have a bad spirit, the only thing you can hope that somebody around you has a good spirit so they can make up the difference for you, and maybe somehow they could accommodate and you could be used. Sometimes people with bad spirits need somebody with a good spirit so the person with a bad spirit can hang in there because nobody else is going to tolerate them. Somebody with a good spirit goes around saying, I know he's got a bad attitude, but I think he's got a sincere heart. I'll try to help him. I know she's negative, but hang in there. You got to have somebody that becomes the shock absorber for all the people that have bad attitudes and bad spirits so that you can at least have a chance at accomplishing something, because the average person can't put up with your attitude. Daniel was taken captive, but he forgave. He didn't let it destroy his spirit, and eventually it led to his promotion. Daniel's spirit paved the way to his historical success. You say, I want to be selected, then fix your spirit. So I've got all the qualities. There's one you really have to have, and that's a good attitude or a good spirit.
Right.
A good spirit can make up for even a lack of ability. You know, somebody with a good spirit, you can teach them just about anything. People with a good attitude, my goodness, what you can accomplish. Any teacher here will tell you that. A child does not have to have extreme intelligence if they've got a good attitude about learning. Hey, we're on. We are on. I like this. Even a good spirit can cover up our weaknesses. A young man and a young woman were soon to be married. But they both had a problem that they never told anyone else about. The man approached his father one day before the wedding and told him about his problem. His feet really stank. Even if he washed them constantly, he was worried that this would scare off his new bride. So he needed a solution, and fast. His father pondered the situation and finally told his son to wear socks constantly, even to bed, and always wash his feet whenever he could so she wouldn't smell them. The son thought about this and went along his happy way. Now, the same day, the young lady, the bride, approached her mom and told her mom about her problem. This young bride's morning breath was horrible. Her mother reassured her and told her everybody had bad morning breath. The young woman said, but mother, you don't understand. Mine is abnormally wicked and nasty. The mother thinks about it and comes up with a solution. She tells her daughter to get up earlier than everyone else, don't say anything to her husband, go and make breakfast and brush her teeth and use mouthwash while everyone's eating. The young woman thinks and says, okay, that'll work. I'll do it. The couple gets married, and they're happy. Him with his perpetual socks and her with her morning silence. One morning about 5:30 a.m., the young man wakes up to find one of his socks missing in bed. He starts rustling around in the bed looking for it, which of course wakes up his wife, who without thinking breathes on him and says, what's wrong? With a look of shock on the young man's face, he said, oh my goodness, you have swallowed one of my socks. Hey. Can I tell you something? You might want to work on your spirit if you got stinky feet. There are certain things. Look, there are certain abilities that you may not have, but if you've got a good attitude, that's pretty valuable. That's pretty precious. If you ask me, and you want to really research how David got himself in that whole mess with Bathsheba and Uriah, something happened in his spirit before that ever took place. And David gets control of himself in Psalm 51. He's coming back to God. He said, God, you're going to have to renew a right spirit in me, because somewhere along the way, I got a bad attitude. I got a bad spirit. And I'll promise you, before you go into rotten sin, something happened inside your heart that we could not see before you ever took the outside step. You were stepping away from God on the inside. Before you ever stepped away from your church on the outside, you had been stepping away for a long time on the inside where nobody could see it. See, a good spirit. A good spirit. A good spirit will keep you from sin. A good spirit will lead you to success. Hey, a good spirit will make you like Jesus. A good spirit will make you like Jesus. Luke chapter 2, verse number 40 says, this about Jesus. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. We're just talking about being waxed strong in spirit. It's not talking about being waxed strong in the Holy Spirit. He's talking about the spirit of a man, the attitude of a man. Did you know that your spirit can grow?
Yes, sir.
You ought to be learning how to get along with people. You ought to be learning how to have the right attitude around people and the right spirit around people. You say, well, that's just my attitude. Then change it. Change it. There's some of you, your Sunday school class is not going to grow until you get your spirit fixed. Some of your bus route, you're going to limit yourself because you need to work on your spirit. Your spirit. You've got right doctrine. You've got a bad attitude.
Yes.
There are churches, folks, listen to me. I travel this country far and wide. There are churches all over the country who have right doctrine, but they can't seem to reach anybody. And I'll tell you why. It's the spirit of the church.
Yeah.
It's the spirit. Right doctrine. Wrong attitude, no growth. Y'all there? A good spirit will make you Christ-like. See, Jesus had an excellent attitude. It says he grew strong in spirit. You need to become strong in your spirit, strong in your attitude. And I'm not talking about bullheadedness. And there is a way to be strong in your conviction, but have a good attitude about it. Jesus had an excellent attitude. Jesus had a pleasant temperament. Jesus had a strong spirit. Jesus had a loving spirit. Jesus had a meek spirit. Jesus had a controlled spirit. Jesus had a humble spirit. Jesus had a tender spirit. Jesus had a fervent spirit. Jesus had a loving spirit. Jesus had an understanding spirit. I'm going to tell you something. Brother Nash, come up here for a second. I can get song leaders all over the nation. But you can't find the spirit of a Greg Nash all over the nation. Anybody can swing their arms. Anybody can lead a song. But you know the difference. The spirit. It's attitude. There's a sincerity there. You are required the very same thing. Well, I like the spirit of a Greg Nash. Well, he likes the spirit of Jesus, and we ought to see it in you too. We ought to be saying we couldn't find a better Sunday school teacher for your class. They can't be found. Oh, there are people that can teach doctrine, but what about your attitude? Thank you, Brother Nash. Remember, you owe me $5 for that. This church loves a man by the name of Mike Bajan. There are bus directors everywhere. They're everywhere. He's a Sunday school teacher. There are Sunday school teachers everywhere. What do you like about him? His spirit. His attitude. There's something special about his attitude, huh? Jesus had a patient spirit. Jesus had a predictable spirit. Jesus had a faithful spirit. Jesus had a gentle spirit. Jesus had a forgiving spirit. Jesus had a good spirit. Jesus had a submissive spirit. Hey, Jesus was everything he was supposed to be doctrinally, but what made him the total package is he had a good attitude about it while he stood for good. Jesus did not have a hasty spirit. Jesus did not have a hateful spirit. Jesus did not have a filthy spirit. Jesus did not have a vengeful spirit. Jesus did not have a jealous spirit. Jesus did not have an arrogant spirit. Jesus did not have an evil spirit. Jesus did not have a judgmental spirit. Jesus did not have a slumbering spirit. Jesus did not have a critical spirit. Jesus did not have a wounded spirit. You're supposed to be like Jesus. To be like Jesus, you got to develop your attitude, not just your doctrine. There's some of you, you know the Bible very well, but your attitude's bad. There's a gal in here, boy, you know exactly what the Bible says, but you won't submit to your husband. You've got a bad spirit. Well, I know what the Bible says. Well, good for you. You might want to study the part of the Bible that tells you you got to have a submissive spirit toward your husband. Anybody going to say amen? You're going to leave me up here all by myself. Well, I've been preaching by myself for a long time. I don't mind soloing if I must. To be like Jesus, you got to hate sin. Then you got to love the sinner. That's the right spirit. There are churches that love sinners but don't hate sin. There's a problem there. There are churches that hate sin but don't love the sinner. There's a problem there. We're to do both. Listen to this. Separation from the world is a very important part of the Christian life. Some of you are very good at it, but your spirit's bad. Matter of fact, your bad spirit plus your separation gives separation a bad name. Let me say it again. Your bad spirit plus your separation gives separation a bad name. You know, somebody told me in this auditorium, you went to somebody in this community and said to them, if you're a gal and you wear pants, you can't come to our church. You got a bad spirit. That's not true. That never has been true. And it's not true now. Boy, you're arrogant. I know a gal that doesn't practice every ounce of separation that I might teach from this pulpit, but her spirit is far superior than some of you gals that do practice some outward separation. I've never heard this gal gossip. She'd never attack somebody in the church. Y'all okay? I'm for separation with the right attitude. I'm for doing right. Folks, you'll limit a church if the spirit's not right. You say, preacher, it's your job to keep the spirit right. I can't keep your spirit right. There's only one spirit I can keep right. It's mine. And every one of us, there's well over 1,000 people in this auditorium right now. You are to do your percentage of the work of keeping the spirit of this church right. Choir, you're to do your part. And keeping the spirit of this church right. And don't glare at me from the choir. But look at the choir, folks. Figure out who it is. You can tell when somebody's spirit's sour. It don't take long. And I want to try to help keep the church's spirit right, but the only way I can do that is keep mine. Because you got to keep yours. And you remember this. A good spirit will make you Christ-like. You better take a good long look at your spirit, because I believe this. You say, oh, you're just worried about your church. No, I'm worried about your life. Because I'll guarantee you something. When David's spirit went sour, so did David's morality, and so did David's success. He had to get his spirit renewed within him because it had been soiled somewhere along the way. Let me go on. A good spirit will give you strength for self-control. A good spirit will give you the strength for self-control. Listen to this verse. Proverbs 16:32 says, he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. This teaches a proof of real manhood is in control of your spirit. Hear it. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. God's saying, you can monitor your manhood on how well you can control your spirit or your attitude. Yeah. The greatest hero of all is not someone who can beat everybody else. The greatest hero of all is that Christian through the help of the Holy Spirit that controls their attitude or controls their spirit. You know, many generals have had great victories over cities across the world. How would you like to be stronger than a General Dwight D. Eisenhower? And remember, God said, he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. How would you like to be stronger than Eisenhower? Control your spirit. How would you like to be stronger than Douglas MacArthur? Then learn how to control your attitude. How would you like to be stronger than General Patton? Then control your attitude. You either control your emotional passions or they will control you. Good Christians or mature Christians protect their spirits so they can control themselves. You protect your spirit to control your body. You protect your spirit to control your mouth. You protect your spirit to control your loyalties. Good Christians protect their spirits. You know, having big muscles and a bad spirit produces low self-control. Big muscles, bad spirit, low self-control. Whatever your strength in life is will become your destruction if not monitored by a healthy spirit or attitude. Did you hear that? Whatever your strength in life, if it is not monitored, will become your destruction if you don't keep your spirit or your attitude healthy about that strength. That's where our strengths overtake us, and we end up being something that we're not supposed to be. You say, I've got the strength of organization. Well, you better keep a good attitude about it. You say, well, I wish everybody around here just get organized. You better keep a good attitude about your strength. So I think it ought to be done just this way. Okay, I do too, but I'm going to tell you something. Better keep a good attitude about your strength. Well, the way I see it, you better keep a good attitude about your strength. If your spirit gets out of control, your strength will be the result of your own demise. Yeah, maybe education is your strength. You better keep it in check with a good attitude or a good spirit. Maybe athleticism is your strength. You better keep a good spirit to keep that thing under control, or it'll destroy you. You say, productivity is my strength. I'm glad for you. I'm glad you're productive, but I'm going to tell you something. You better keep your spirit healthy, because your productivity will be the death of you if your spirit gets unhealthy. Many very capable people in the history of the New Testament church have hurt the church rather than helped it, not because of their position, but because of their disposition. If your spirit gets out of control, so will your body and so will your mouth. That means there could be people sitting in a congregation that are right doctrinally and wrong in attitude. I've watched that time and time again. Stay with me now. Let me repeat. I said this. I said, number one, a good spirit will keep you from sin. I said, number two, a good spirit will lead you to success. I said, number three, a good spirit will make you Christ-like. I said, number four, a good spirit will give you strength for self-control. Number five, a good spirit will give you strength to resist temptation. Now, here's where I believe David had a problem. Something had happened inside David that changed him from the inside. You know, there was no prior on the outside indication that David was about to take Bathsheba and murder Uriah. But something happened to his spirit on the inside, which lowered his resistance on the outside, which resulted in David committing adultery and murder and all sorts of other chaotic, weird, terrible sins. And I'm saying to you, a good spirit will strengthen your ability to resist sin. Proverbs 25:28 says, he that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. See, controlling your spirit is definitely a test of your strength in life. This verse tells us, if you have no rule over your spirit, you're like a city with broken down walls. What does that do? If a city has broken down walls, the enemy can come and attack, and you have no way to resist. So when the Bible's saying, when your spirit is weak, you have torn down a wall of strength in your life, and when temptation comes, you're going to be weak, and you're not going to fight back like you ought to fight back. Folks, I'm telling you, you better keep your spirit right. A 6 foot, 2 inch, 230 pound male bodybuilder who can't say no to a 5 foot, 4 inch woman who wears sweet perfume, he's weak. He's weak. David's spirit was weak. You know, you remember, think about it. David could slay Goliath when his spirit was strong. But he couldn't handle Bathsheba when his spirit was bad. How tough you are is not the show you're putting on the outside. I want to know what's going on inside you. There are people, you look real tough and you're a real fundamentalist and you just got it all together. We're going to figure out what you're really made of based on what's on the inside of you. See, there was no indication that David was about to do what David did, but something had happened on the inside of him that lowered his resistance. We could see that when David was a young man and his spirit was right, David fought Goliath and won hands down. A woman comes along. Goliath was 9'9" tall. The average woman is about 5'9 or 5'10. David could not handle Bathsheba, but he beat the snot out of Goliath, and the whole difference was not whether David was in better shape. It was on the inside, not on the outside. Physical strength won't make a difference when temptation comes, folks. Your spirit makes the victory or the defeat. You can be doctrinally right. Get this, you can be doctrinally right, but if your spirit's bad, you're going to mess up. You will mess up. Your education won't make a difference when temptation comes. Your spirit will. That's all there is to it. Educated, not educated. When temptation comes, it's going to depend on your spirit, your attitude towards sin. Your ability to make money won't make a difference when temptation comes. Your spirit will make the difference in victory in temptation. Samson was a physically strong man. But his spirit became weak, and he was defeated by temptation with Delilah. You may have abilities that are like high-powered engines, but your spirit is the oil that lubricates the engine. Yes, sir. Moses was powerfully educated in Pharaoh's courts, but when his spirit was weak, he did wrong. Sometimes we get the idea how much money I have, how strong I am physically, how well educated I am is going to make a difference whether I do right or wrong. And I'm going to tell you something. Right or wrong is going to boil down to your spirit and your attitude toward God and doing right. You can have it all in your resume. But if you've got a bad spirit, you're going down. You ever watch it happen? You watch somebody and they just go out and do something really stupid. You're saying, where did that come from? Oh, they had it all together on the outside, but on the inside, somebody had tampered with their spirit. They were weaker than what the outside structure proved. I'm almost finished. Let me say this. I believe a good spirit will help you to glorify God. A good spirit will help you to glorify God. Listen to this. 1 Corinthians 6:20 says, for you're bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You say, well, this is just my attitude. Your attitude is supposed to be God's attitude. Right there it says, your spirit is God's. It's not talking about the Holy Spirit there. It's talking about your spirit. You need to turn your attitude over to God. You need to turn your spirit over to God. And you're not just to believe the Bible right. You're to handle what you believe about the Bible right. You're to handle God's people right. That's called attitude. That's called your spirit. You know, the greatest leaders that I have ever met in fundamentalism have the healthiest spirits. A healthy spirit will sustain somebody during difficult times. It's for sure. You know, nowhere in the Bible does it say that God is glorified because of your physical beauty, ladies. Get this. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that God is glorified because of a lady's physical beauty. Nowhere. There are people in this room, you spend tons of time working on your outside, and you need doctrine up on the inside. You say, well, if I did my hair better and if I had fancier clothes, we'd be happier in marriage. No, in life we'd have a decent, submissive, kind, gentle, loving attitude. It's funny. It's funny. I had a man tell me, and I'm not trying to be unkind. I just want to be honest for a moment. Well, I've been honest all along. And the next time I'm going to be honest, I'll let you know. I had a man tell me this. He said, Brother Owens, he said, I'll be honest. I married my wife and I realize to other men she's not attractive. He said, I realize she's a bigger lady. He said, I'm going to tell you right now. I am so happy she is one of the sweetest, kindest. He said, I'm happy. Because he knew that the true happiness was something that you find on the inside in somebody's spirit. He said, well, Brother Owens, I'm really struggling with my outside. Then keep your inside happy. Keep your inside submissive. Keep your inside healthy. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that God is glorified because of your muscles. But through the control of your spirit, God is glorified. I'll tell you, we through the years have had some boys over here at Martinsburg Christian Academy that were excellent athletes, but they had bad attitudes. I'll take the boys with the good attitudes that can't bounce a ball 10 times over the ones that can bounce a ball with their arrogant in their attitude. Nowhere in the Bible does it say God is glorified because of your IQ. I believe in education. I'm for it. I've memorized my ABCs. My times tables. And I know the 8 parts of speech. But I believe in all that. But you better be careful that your education doesn't become a god to you. You're better off being stupid with a good attitude than smart with a bad. Some of you are saying, good. Nowhere in the Bible does it say God is glorified because of your bank account. So give all the money to the church and let me help your spirit. Look, God doesn't say if you build your bank account big, I am glorified. God said your attitude, your spirit is how you glorify Him. He said, for you are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Was God glorified in your attitude this week? I don't want to embarrass your wife, but let me tell you all something. Mrs. McLean is a secretary over at Martinsburg Christian Academy. She's going to have a baby sometime in the next couple years, right? She's pregnant. She's going to have a baby, so she's going to have to leave being the secretary at Martinsburg Christian Academy. Well, I'll tell you something. What a loss. Because she can type? Oh, she can. What a loss. She said because she's good at her clerical abilities? Oh, yeah, but that's not it. Anybody know what it is?
Yes, sir.
It's obvious, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
Could I hire you? Want to put up with all the junk you put up with working in an office like that? And still have a good spirit? It's quiet. If we all had your attitude, what would our church be like? David said, renew a right spirit within me. It said renew, which meant this. At one time, he had a right spirit. That prefix, re, means again. He said, I've got to get my spirit back. Something had stolen spirit. Usually, it's running with the wrong crowd.
Yes, sir.
He knew his spirit had become bad. I believe it's where the whole downfall started. The other day, I was down at Peterson's car wash and oil change, get my oil changed. I flipped through my Bible. I got to thinking, just like I need to keep that oil fresh in my car so the engine has all the horsepower and all the productivity and all the pull that it needs, I've got to keep my own oil, my spirit, fresh and right. Because it is what is going to make the difference on my engine of life, whether or not it functions right. This will help your marriage, help you with your kids, your parents, in the church, the ministries. Question this morning is, how's your spirit? If you're here today and you've never been born again, you need to get saved. You see, you say, well, what's the key to that? You say, but the ones I can't seem to control anything about my attitude or spirit. Let me tell you this. When you get saved, God gives you His Spirit to help your spirit to do right. If you're saying, I'm not saved, and for some reason my attitude stinks all the time, and I've tried to change it, I don't know what to do. I know what you mean. Because being unsaved, you have to do it by yourself. But when you get saved, you have the Holy Spirit's help, and it makes it more doable. Y'all experience that? I used to look at Christians and say, boy, how do they control themselves? And how do they say no to sin? And how do they do that? What happened is their spirit was weak. They got born again, and the Holy Spirit moved within them. And suddenly, between His Spirit and my spirit, we team up, and we have victory. And beside that, if you don't get saved, you'll die and go to hell. We don't want that for you. How's your spirit? How's your spirit? Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed.